Well, I'll move around all these obstacles up here today. If I rip one, I don't mean to, but it does look good, so I'm excited to see what how this all comes out this week. So some people's got some pretty good imagination for that stuff, so good deal. Good deal. Well, it's good to be in the house of the Lord this morning. It's good to see each one of your faces here this morning. It's always good to be amongst and being with other believers and to worship, and whether your day is great or your week has been great or your week has been bad, it's always good to be amongst God's people and to be a part of His worship and to see what God is doing with that. So good things. And it's been really busy in our church here the last couple of weeks, and it's not going to end. BBS starts tomorrow, and I'm sure it's not too late to sign up a kid or a grandkid or something. But as soon as that is over on Friday, it goes through Friday, right? Yeah, Friday. And then Saturday we start, a group comes in from Mississippi. And over the weekend, Saturday and Sunday, we get some people from Mississippi and from Illinois. And we've never hosted two teams at one time. But this year we could be possibly over 100 people. Uh-huh. But the big crowd from Illinois, Peoria, although I think it's Peoria, anyway, they are going to be staying at the university. So I'm thankful for that because, yeah. So, and then the other group, which is the smaller group of 30, I think they're bringing 31 or 32 in. They are going to be staying here. So that should be a good piece. So on that Wednesday, the preacher from Peoria will preach on that Wednesday night. And so it should be a great week. They're going to be working on this. We'll be doing some stuff here in the balcony again, working on the men's house, working on some of the old building across the street, working on some of our water problems over here where it goes down in one of our rooms when it rains hard, and the patio for the men, just a whole bunch of stuff. But if you are not busy and you want to come by, I'll make a mention next week, just come by. And they are looking for people to help. Even though they have that many people, we have that many jobs. So does that make sense? Yeah. So anyway, well, I'm looking forward to that. So today, I want to read from God's Word probably more than what I normally do. It definitely is more than I normally do. But I want you to pay attention today. A lot of people today are trying to figure out how to do life. Forgot how to do life. If we got a problem, we make it into a disease so that we don't have to be responsible for what we're doing. We turn around and we say it's okay for me, but it's not okay for the rest of the world. I'm right, you're wrong. If you don't agree with me, you're my enemy, and now I hate you. It's so much stuff is going on in the world today, and even in the church says, "Oh my, we're getting so much pressure from the world." Well, we need to cave. So we need to step aside some of our strong doctrinal and theology pieces, and we're just going to go with the world because we don't want to lose people, and people are taking things and just doing things that they want to do, and some people are in this survival of the fittest, and putting patriotism over even other things of the Lord, and I think we're really in a time of confusion. I really do. I think we're in a time of confusion. The Bible doesn't say what you want it to say. It says what God says it says. It's not what I wanted to say. It shouldn't be what you wanted to say. It's what God wants it to say. And God is right. So how do we live in this world? Really, how do we live in this world? What are we in this world? Why are we even in this world? It's not to live our best dreams out. We're created by God. We're created by God to live His way. And to be a pleasure to Him. I think we forget that. That He looks down and He is pleased with you and your spouse. He's pleased with you and your family. How does God want us to live in the world? Well, He has specific ways for us to live. And our way is not always the right way. So I'm going to share with you today. I've been in the Old Testament for a little while, and I'm going to move back and get pulled back into the Gospels. So if you have your Bibles, we're going to be in Matthew chapter 5 today. Jesus has a crowd there. He's got His disciples. He's going to begin to teach, going to be able to preach. I want to remind you that I don't care what preacher you like on TV. I'm sure it's not me, but if you got a favorite preacher, there's no preacher better than Jesus. Jesus could say five words and out-preach everyone. Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. That's a little more than five, but that's just, that was powerful because there was power behind it. We're going to work through some of these things. This kind of this Sermon on the Mount, I want to come to a conclusion at the end where there is a choice. Jesus tells us, it's like 20 topics here plus, tells us how to live, how to do life. Folks, we're in a mess because we choose not to do it God's way. And even when we have problems, because we will have problems, we make them harder than they should because we let the flesh get in the way. Now I want you to bear with me today because I'm going to read a lot. And if you don't get anything out of the message, it's going to be because you just didn't listen. And just listen to it. If you get anything I preach out of today, just listen to the verses. Anything I say extras, that's just extra. But listen to the verses. Jesus has a crowd in front of him. And he doesn't slam them in the front end. He begins to talk to him on how to be blessed. How to be blessed. Right out the gate, he talks about how to be blessed. Blessings to those who choose to do it his way. Verse 3 of Matthew chapter 5. Blessed are the poor in spirit, for the kingdom of heaven is theirs. Blessed are those who mourn, for they will be comforted. Blessed are the humble, for they will inherit the earth. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they will be filled. And blessed are the merciful, for they will be shown mercy. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they will see God. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they will be called the sons of God. And blessed are those who are persecuted because of righteousness, for the kingdom of heaven is theirs. You are blessed when they insult you and persecute you and falsely say every kind of evil against you because of me. Be glad and rejoice because your reward is great in heaven, for what is how they persecuted the prophets, for this is how they persecuted the prophets who were before you. Jesus talked about how to be blessed. But then he goes in, he begins to tell the people, there's a difference between you and the world. He says, believers are salt and to be light. Jesus says, you are the salt of the earth. But if the salt loses its taste, how can it be made salty? It's no longer good for anything but to be thrown out and trampled under people's feet. He says, you are the light of the world. A city on a hill cannot be hidden. Neither do you put a light under a lamp and put under or under a bowl, but instead you put on a lampstand. And he gives light to everyone in the house. In the same way, let your light shine before men that they may see your good works and praise your Father who is in heaven. Wow. And then he wants to share that he is the one to fulfill the law. He says in verse 17, don't think that I came to abolish the law or the prophets. I did not come to abolish it, but to fulfill. For I truly tell you, until heaven and earth pass away, not the smallest letter or the stroke of a letter will pass away from the law until all things are accomplished. Therefore, whoever breaks one of the least of these commands and teaches others to do the same will be called least in the kingdom of heaven. But whoever does and teaches these commands will be called great in the kingdom of heaven. For I tell you, unless your righteousness surpasses that of the scribes and Pharisees, you will never get into the kingdom of heaven. And then he begins to talk about your heart, our heart. You've heard that it was said to our ancestors, do not murder, and whoever murders will be subject to judgment. But I tell you, everyone who is angry with his brother or sister will be subject to judgment. Whoever insults his brother or sister will be subject to the court. Whoever says you fool will be subject to hellfire. So if you are offering your gift on the altar, and there you remember that your brother or sister has something against you, leave your gift there in front of the altar. First go and be reconciled with your brother or sister, and then come and offer your gift. Reach a settlement quickly with your adversary. While you're on your way with him on to the court, or your adversary will hand you over to the judge, and the judge to the official, the officer, and will be, and you will be thrown into prison. Truly, I tell you, you will never get out of there until you have paid the last penny. And then Jesus knows the crowd. Now he wants to talk about adultery. You've heard that it was said, do not commit adultery. But I tell you, everyone who looks at a woman lustfully has already committed adultery with her in his heart. If your right eye causes you to sin, gouge it out and throw it away. For it would be better that you lose one of the parts of your body than your whole body to be thrown into hell. And if your right hand causes you to sin, cut it off and throw it away. For it is better that you lose one of the parts of your body than for your whole body to go into hell. Folks, each one of these is a message in itself, but we're covering them all today. And someone might say, well, I just passed those pretty good too. Then he moves into divorce. It was also said, whoever divorces his wife must give her a certificate, a written notice of a divorce. But I tell you, everyone who divorces his wife, except in the case of a sexual immorality, causes her to commit adultery. And whoever marries a divorced woman commits adultery. And then he begins to talk about our tongue, telling the truth. Verse 33, he says, and again, you have heard that it was said to our ancestors, you must not break your oath, but you must keep your oaths to the Lord. But I tell you, don't take an oath at all, either by heaven, because it is God's throne, or by earth, because it is his footstool, or by Jerusalem, because it is the city of the great king. Do not swear by your head, because you cannot make a single hair white or black, but let your yes be yes, and let your no be no. Anything more than this is from the evil one. And then he begins to talk about going the second mile, or maybe you may know it as turning the other cheek. He says, you have heard that it was said, an eye for an eye and a tooth for a tooth, but I tell you, don't resist an evildoer. On the contrary, if anyone slaps you on your right cheek, turn the other cheek to him also. As for the one who wants to sue you and to take away your shirt, let him have your coat as well. Man, I want to preach that, but I can't right now. And if anyone forces you to go a mile, go with him too. Give to the one who asks you, and don't turn away from the one who wants to borrow from you. Sometimes we can say, man, I'm doing pretty good. But then he moves into an area. It's called love your enemies. Verse 43, you have heard it was said, love your neighbor and hate your enemy. But I tell you, love your enemies and pray for those who persecute you, so that you may be children of your Father in heaven, for he causes his sun to rise on the evil and the good. And he sends rain on the just and the unjust, for the righteous and the unrighteous. For if you love those who love you, what reward will you have? Don't even the tax collectors do the same? And if you greet only your brothers and sisters, are you doing what's out of the ordinary? Don't even the Gentiles do the same? Be perfect, therefore, as your heavenly Father is perfect. Then he talks about how to give. How to give. Be careful not to practice your righteousness in front of others, to be seen by them. Otherwise, you have no reward with your Father in heaven. So whenever you give to the poor, don't sound a trumpet before you, as the hypocrites do in the synagogues or on the streets, to be applauded by people. Truly, I tell you, they have their reward. But when you give to the poor, don't let your left hand know what your right hand is doing, so that your giving may be in secret, and your Father who sees in secret will reward you. And then he moves on to the great piece of prayer. How to pray. Whenever you pray, you must not be like the hypocrites, because they love to pray standing in the synagogues, on the street corners, to be seen by people. Truly, I tell you, they have their reward. But when you pray, go into your private room and shut your door and pray to your Father who is in secret. And your Father who sees in secret will reward you. And when you pray, don't babble like the Gentiles, since they imagine they'll be heard for their many words. Don't be like them, because your Father knows the things you need before you ask him. And then Jesus gives an example on how to pray. Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name, your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us today our daily bread, and forgive us of our debts as we forgive our debtors. Do not bring us unto temptation, but deliver us from the evil one. For if you forgive others their offenses, your heavenly Father will forgive you as well. But if you do not forgive others, your Father will not forgive your offenses. And then he moves into fasting. Whenever you fast, don't be gloomy like the hypocrites, for they make their faces unattractive, so that their fasting is obvious to people. Truly, I tell you, they have their reward. But when you fast, put oil on your head and wash your face, so that your fasting isn't obvious to others, but to your Father who is in secret. And your Father who sees in secret will reward you. And then Jesus begins to talk about possessions. Don't store up yourselves treasures on earth, where moth and rust destroy and where thieves break in and steal. But store up yourselves treasures in heaven, where neither moth nor rust destroys and where thieves don't break in and steal. For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. The eye is the lamp of the body. If your eye is healthy, your whole body will be full of light. But if your eye is bad, your whole body will be full of darkness. So if the light within you is darkness, how deep is that darkness? No one can serve two masters, since either he will hate one and love the other, or he will be devoted to one and despise the other. You cannot serve both God and money. And then for all those who of you that worry, he did not leave you out. I should say he did not leave us out. Jesus will talk about worrying. Verse 25. Therefore I tell you, don't worry about your life, or what you will eat, or what you will drink, or about your body, and what you will wear. Isn't life more than food, and the body more than clothing? Consider the birds of the sky. They don't sow or reap or gather into barns, but yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Aren't you worth more than they? Can any of you add a moment to his lifespan by worrying? And why do you worry about your clothes? Observe how the wildflowers of the field grow. They don't labor or spin thread. Yet I tell you that not even Solomon in all of his splendor was adorned like one of these. If that's how God clothes the grass of the field, which is here today and thrown into the furnace tomorrow, won't he do much more for you, you of little faith? So don't worry, saying, what will we eat, or what will we drink, or what will we wear? For these the Gentiles eagerly seek all these things. And your heavenly Father knows that you need them. But seek first ye the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be provided for you. Therefore, don't worry about tomorrow, because tomorrow will worry about itself. Each day has enough trouble of its own. And then Jesus moves to judging. Do not judge so that you won't be judged. For you will be judged by the same standard which you judge others, and you will be measured by the same measure you use. Why do you look at the splinter in your brother's eye and don't notice the beam of wood in your own eye? Or how can you say to your brother, let me take the splinter out of your eye, and look, there's a beam of wood in your own eye? Hypocrite! First take the beam of wood out of your eye, and then you can see clearly to take the splinter out of your brother's eye. Don't give what is holy to dogs, or toss your pearls before pigs, or they will trample them under their feet and turn and tear you to pieces. And then Jesus begins to share an open door for intimacy in asking. Chapter 7, verse 7, he moves on. He says, ask and it will be given to you. Seek and you will find. Knock and the door will be opened to you. For everyone who asks receives. And the one who seeks finds, and the one who knocks, the door will be open. Who among you, if his son asks for bread, will give him a stone? Or if he asks for a fish, will give him a snake? If you then, who are evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your Father in heaven give good gifts to those who ask him? Therefore, whatever you want others to do for you, do also the same for them. For this is the law and the prophets. And then Jesus talks about how to enter into his kingdom. Enter through the narrow door, into the narrow gate. For the gate is wide, and the road is broad that leads to destruction. And there are many who go through it. How narrow is the gate, and difficult the road that leads to life, and few find it. Be on your guard against false prophets who come to you in sheep's clothing, but inwardly are ravaging wolves. You'll recognize them by their fruit. Are grapes gathered with thorn bushes or figs with thistles? In the same way, every good tree produces good fruit, but a bad tree produces bad fruit. A good tree cannot produce bad fruit. Neither can a bad tree produce good fruit. Every tree that does not produce good fruit is cut down and thrown into the fire. So you'll recognize them by their fruit. Now, not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, will enter into the kingdom of heaven, but only the one who does the will of my Father in heaven. And on that day, many will say to me, Lord, Lord, didn't we prophesy in your name, drive out demons in your name, and do many miracles in your name? Then I will announce to them, I never knew you. Depart from me, you lawbreakers. Folks, that's a lot. Jesus has given instructions on how to live life. And then there's the last part. Jesus sums up all of this, and then he says the word, therefore, which means all the stuff that I just said, all that 15 minutes of reading Scripture, he says, now, this is the conclusion, therefore, everyone who hears these words, that's all the way back to the beginning that we talked about, everyone who hears these words and acts on them is like a wise man who's built his house on the rock, and rain fell, and the rivers rose, and the winds blew and pounded that house. Yet it did not collapse because its foundation was on the rock. But everyone who hears these words of mine and doesn't act on them will be like a foolish man who built his house on the sand. The rain fell, the rivers rose, and the winds blew and pounded the house. And it collapsed, and it's collapsed, and it collapsed with a great crash. Folks, Jesus gave an answer on how to, so many topics on how to do life the way God wants. But he says what he has. He says there's two different types of people. There is the wise person who does it Jesus' way. And then there is a foolish person who does it their own way or any other way that is not God's way. He gives these two examples, but they both receive the same type of thing. That both the situation happens to both. He says the rains fell and when the rains fall and the rivers rose and the wind came and it came on both homes. You see, he's talking about that both of them, they built a house. We are a house. We have a house. We are like a house. And when the rains fall, this rain comes. The rain is like a constant trouble that you have in life. I like sunny days better than rainy days. I do. I love the sunshine on my face. I heard a thunderstorm this morning. Sometimes we need rain for the crops and things. But generally, I don't like rain. I like sunny days. The rain is an example, telling us as an example of the troubled times that we have. It is the bill that becomes late. It is that someone is speaking evil against you. Someone has done something against you. It's starting to irritate you. It is something that you're struggling with. It is the rain. It's everyday problems that we have, and it happens to everyone. It's all part of our life. We have problems in life, and this rain falls on everyone. On everyone. But it's not just the rain. It's when the waters begin to rise. It's when the rivers begin to rise, when the problems just keep on coming, as we say, and the hits just keep on coming. And what this is it continues to rise. The problems are rising. It's not that you have a financial crisis. I can't pay the bill. It's just your finances can't pay the bills. You're not behind on one bill. You're behind on the bills. You don't have someone that's speaking ill against you. You got a bunch of people speaking ill against you. You got that constant stuff that's continuing to happen to you. And we struggle with that. It's a relationship that's not just strained. It's getting more and more distant from someone that you love. And the waters are rising. And the troubles, it happens. And it happens to all of us from time to time. And then when the winds pick up, winds are very damaging. You can look at my house. I haven't finished my stuff. But the winds are damaging. Last year we had 103 wind that came through our neighborhood. And I still got damaged and had to spend money taking trees out because even though the trees didn't fall, I'm smart enough to know, been in the landscape long enough, if the wind keeps doing this to a tree, it weakens the root systems. And that tree is right over the house. I knew it would be, so I had to get rid of it. because I know wind can be very damaging. It pulls trees out of the ground, and I've seen it. When the winds hit, it's the bad news. It's when you get the call that you thought you didn't have cancer, but maybe you do. It's the call where you lose a loved one that you weren't really maybe expecting. It's the one that because you're a believer in the family, the rest of the family has put you on. They think that you're the black sheep of the family, or you think that you're better than everyone. You didn't say you were better than everyone, but people always want to think that Christians think they're better than everyone. And let me tell you, that those things hurt from people that you love, especially your family members, when you're trying to share the gospel and they don't want to hear it, and they just keep making those judgment pieces on you, and they keep saying things, and your anger begins to build up. Folks, these are the things that happen in life, and your faith becomes tested. So not only do you have rain, you have the rivers arise, the water's rising up, you have flooding, and now you have the wind, and it's pounding on your life. And that's why Jesus was sharing with these things, not to retaliate, that you turn the other cheek, that you don't hate your neighbor, you don't hate your enemy, that you love your enemy. And you know, sometimes people don't like their neighbors. Let me remind you, some people don't like you either, and they don't like me. And you don't have to do anything for somebody not to like you. You don't have to do anything wrong today for somebody not to like you. You can be doing what God wants you to do, and people won't like you. Jesus gives two. He gives it here. He says, listen, you can choose my way and begin to live it right. And you can live it, and you build it on the rock, on the Word of God. And you can build it, and when those times come, you're going to make it. But you can put it on the building on sand where it looks good for a moment, and it's a quick fix. But I'm telling you, when it all rises up, the water comes, the wind, it's gonna collapse. And Jesus said it wasn't going to just collapse, but it was going to collapse in a bad way. That it was going to have massive damage. That it was going to come to a great crash. Folks, I can tell you right now that I've seen families that weren't following Christ, and when something happened in their life, everything just fell apart. Everything just fell apart. Folks, why did Jesus talk about being blessed? He wants you to be blessed. That's what he does. He wants you to be blessed. He tells you how to do it. He tells you how to go through the second mile, to turn the other cheek. He tells you how to do that. He tells you that adultery doesn't start with doing it. He says it starts in your heart. Don't go there. He's telling us how to get into the kingdom of heaven. It's not broad. That's the broad. That gate is wide. It's a wide gate. It's a way. It's a broad way that leads to hell. But it's the narrow gate. And it says few find it. Why does he say it that way? Because the narrow gate means one way, one door. Broad means there's all kinds of ways. It's all out there. But only one way to enter into the gate of heaven. Only one way to get to heaven. And that is through Jesus Christ. That is it. You want to get through this world, you can get through this world however you want. But there is consequences, there is suffering that we don't need, we don't have to have, if we do it God's way. Somebody come, I can't believe, a person can't believe that they end up with AIDS. Now listen, if you're having sex outside of marriage, you need to get tested. Nobody wants to talk about it. You need to get tested. Why do you think they got commercials all the time? They're showing things out there saying it's okay. You can live with AIDS. You can do that. Listen, when a person has AIDS and they have sex with somebody, they pass it on. Your life is going to be cut short. They can extend it a little bit, but it's going to be cut short. Living against the ways of God has complications. It has consequences. There's suffering that shouldn't have to happen. There's enough suffering even in the world, even for those who are believers and trying to live righteous. There's still enough suffering for that, just because we live in a broken world and we're sinners. Nobody's talking about the sexual thing. America doesn't want to talk about it. We don't want to talk about adultery. We don't want to talk about those sinful things. We don't want to talk about pornography on the cell phones and on the laptops and the computers. We don't want to talk about that stuff. Listen, that stuff is damaging families and tearing things apart. Jesus says, if you just look at a woman lustfully in your heart, you've already committed adultery. I tried to get some stats of sexual diseases in Huntington, and I can't get them. And most of, and I'm just telling you, it sounds weird, but it's true. Sexual diseases run rampant in nursing homes. They do. Just because you get older don't mean you stop sinning. Amen. The Lord knows. It's time we stop judging our brothers and sisters in the Lord. I'm telling you, God has a way of getting our attention. He's serious about this stuff. You don't have to take her out. She's my amen corner, Joda. Just doing it in a way that gets noticed. I don't think God's happy with how we're living. And I'm not judging you. I got to look at my own heart. I don't think he's happy on how we speak about. It isn't about what we're saying outward, because we watch that. It's what we're saying in here, and that comes. This comes all out to right here in your heart. Jealous over people getting things and doing and moving up in the world in some kind of sense or whatever it may be. We're jealous of other. We got to stop. Wonder why our churches may not be growing and our churches not fulfilling what God wants is because our hearts aren't right. This is the greatest preaching message in the world. Not for me. I'm just saying God's word is the greatest preaching message in the world. Because the world was doing it all their way. And for the first time, they hear that these things. Sermon on the Mount, I have a note. It says, it is how you build a house that will stand through everything. But how are we building our house? How am I building my own house? You know why we don't like the Sermon on the Mount? One, because we feel like it's long. And number two, there's usually something in there that just hits us. It just hits us right in our being. He says, ask and you shall receive. Well, I'm wrestling with that one. How about you? You wrestling with something? I'm seeking. I'm searching. I haven't found yet. I'm knocking. But my faith knows that he's there. I got to love my enemies. Wow, I struggle. Oh, man. Listen. I'm commanded to love my enemies. So if I don't know how to love my enemies, what do? I say, Lord, help me to love my enemy. But I can't do that on my own. Lord, help me to work through. Help me to work through something where I want to make a judgment call, and I'm really not upset with some things that someone's doing, and I just think they're just doing it wrong. Help me, Lord. Help me through that. Help me, Lord, to control my eyes and my thought patterns that they're not going the wrong direction. Lord, help me to make sure when I give it with my whole heart, and I'm doing what you have put upon me, what you put upon my heart, not what I put upon my own heart. There's so many in there. There's so many in there. And the rain fell. And the rivers rose. And the wind keeps banging over and over and over. One example, and we're going to close it out. One person chooses not to live outside of sin and chooses to honor God with their body. They stay in their marriage or they're single and they keep it in the right lane. Can't pick up a disease. Can't do it. Another person decides to turn around and says, I'm gonna pursue this affair. I'm gonna pursue this fantasy. And basically what happens is the rain comes, but the rain doesn't stop. It starts to flood. And you get into a full-fledged physical affair or just a sexual moment. One time. And the winds pick up. And there's a great collapse. It don't take 20 times having sex to have it eat to get HIV. It can one time. With the wrong person one time. It's like spinning the roulette wheel. Maybe you didn't get that, but you got syphilis. And maybe it was all clean. You didn't come away with nothing, but next thing you know, my baby's daddy. You know that most murders in the world come from someone of jealousy? Outside of the killings, but I'm talking about murder. And it's usually someone they know because of jealousy. Father, as we come to this place, you've given us choice to be. You've given us the way to live. Be blessed in all these things, so many topics. And you said, the one that builds on these words is a wise person. But you also said, the one who does not live out the ways that you have shared is a foolish person. Lord, I know in my own heart, there have been times that I've lived foolish. But I am thankful for your Spirit that leads me in the corrective way. And be part of that first group of being blessed. But Lord, I know we live life here and we struggle sometimes. I pray for each one that is here today that your Spirit is moved in a way that only you can. And I believe your words came out of a young child today. Uh-oh. Because we needed to hear something audible from you today. Using a child in an innocent way. Now be with us in this moment. Amen. Let's stand.